This episode of Slightly Offsides is brought to you by Better Edge, the legal way to bet socially with no fees. Better Edge is an amazing platform that has most sports. We're talking about all the big sports, as well as college football and basketball, MLS, PGA, and European soccer. The lines are better than what you'll get at most any other sports book. Your spreads and your over-unders will go plus and negative, as well as you can also live trade your bets as they're happening. So if you have a horrible bet and you want to get rid of it mid-game and save some capital, you can do that with Better Edge. I got the opportunity to try it out, and now you're going to be able to do that too. Head on over to betteredge.com and get a free $10 right now when you sign up using the code OFFSIDES. That's OFFSIDES at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Play the game without getting played.
Welcome to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Slightly Offsides, presented to you by Better Edge. Play the game without getting played. We have a really special guest on with us today, Trev from Beerly Football. It's a podcast, or actually a group of podcasts. You can check them out on Twitter and on all the platforms that they're on. I'm going to let Trev talk to you about what they're about. But thanks, Trev, for coming on, and we look forward to having a great episode with you.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this since you guys hit me up a week or two ago. And so over at Beerly, just got a little sports network, a little group of podcasts going together. Football's going well. We got that going weekly. Basketball as well, the two podcasts we're running right now. We also got Twitter pages for baseball and Instagram as well. Yeah, it's been fun. This is our first full season doing the NFL, so we've had a blast doing it this year.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. I was telling you, Trev, before the show, I was actually listening to the latest episode you guys just posted. It just came out moments before we started recording this one for Slightly Offside. So definitely go check it out. It's a great episode. They're talking about the Super Bowl, a lot of really fun stuff on there. And one of the really cool things about their podcast is they like to enjoy, as I'm sure the name kind of brings with it, they like to enjoy some beer while they're drinking. And I know you guys switch it up every episode, Trev, but if you had to pick, I guess like my one question for you before we get into our episode is, what's your favorite beer that you've ever had on a podcast episode?
I've had a lot of weird ones, a lot of ones that I've had like for the first time. I think I've had a Yingling before. That's probably like my favorite beer overall, like a really, really tasty amber. So not as crafty, not as fun, but it's one of my favorite beers probably.
You do any IPAs?
I do, yeah. And Zach does a lot of IPAs, but Carrie will not touch him. Carrie stays Bud Light, Corona. He's
simple man, wise man. Yeah. Uh-huh. You don't want to end up too on the waste side on the pod. I've had it happen a couple times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, no, Trev, thanks again for coming on. And we'll get right into it with, one of the bigger bombshells that's happened in the NFL I guess not really a bombshell. I'll call it more of a dud because that's really what it was in the past 2 weeks. But the Washington football team is the Washington football team no longer. They announced that they are officially going to go by the Washington Commanders in what has to be one of the biggest L's of the last 2 years, I think, in the NFL, or last year, however long it's been. Felt like an eternity. But Dre, I mean, so many great names, and then they landed on this one.
Man, you know, the sad part is I live about, 25 minutes away from that stadium, and it just further makes me want to just continue to go further and further north towards Baltimore and just hide in comfort, because it is atrocious. It is probably one of the worst names that I've heard in a long time, but I think it has a chance to be kind of like cool if they're good. And that's like a huge like star, like an asterisk that has to be there, is like, if you're good, maybe it could be like a revolutionary thing where you kind of change up classic sports teams' names instead of using an animal or some sort of big form of whatever your city is represented by, you could kind of use. And I mean, it is, because I mean, DC is the capital and it makes sense, but I'm not going for it.
You made a lot of good points there. And as you alluded to, you and I are pretty close to it, right? Like, we both grew up in the Baltimore area. So obviously, like, this was something that we were pretty excited about. We had a couple of ideas. I was partial to like the Red Wolves, Red Tails. I think they also had a really good one with the Armada. Trev, this is something that Dre and I have talked about for a while, but you're pretty new to this, at least from our point of view. What is your opinion on not only like their name change, but also the jerseys? Because the jerseys came out and I have my opinion about those too, but what are your thoughts?
About the name, I don't like Commanders. Like you said, Red Tails, I was kind of hoping that would be the name. I know those rumors were circulating for a little while, but honestly, like, I don't know if I'm in a minority with this, but like, I was fine with just keeping the Washington football team, like keeping that, even if it was just temporary, keeping it for a few more years. But Commanders, I mean, I think the reason for it was that it embodies the values of service and leadership that characterizes, you know, Washington, D.C., which I'm sure there's a lot of old people that are happy about that, a lot of prideful D.C. folk, but I don't know. I don't love it. And as far as the jerseys, uniforms, I kind of like them from the pictures I've seen on Instagram. But what I don't like is on the red jerseys, the Commanders on the top of the numbers. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
The black ones are cool. I like the black ones. I wish I would have did a gold one. That's something that they've lacked. And I'm like, yeah, why not do like gold and white or gold and red, like some classic with gold.
It's funny you guys bring up the black jerseys, because I actually have – I like the black jerseys until I saw what I didn't like about them. And when I saw what I didn't like about them, it just ruined the jerseys for me. So it's this really small detail, but it's on the helmet, okay? And if you look at the helmet for their black jerseys, they put, like, the W on the front of the helmet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on the side. And once I saw that, it just really rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, I can't like that. But down, like neck down, those jerseys are sweet. I also don't know how I feel about like the fading kind of numbers. Like, that's something that the Rams have too, a little bit on theirs. And it's just something for me personally, I'm not a huge fan of, but they still look pretty good. I think they should have gone Armada. And here's my reasoning. Okay. Armada sounds sick. It's like still pretty military based, right? And, you know, you think about D.C., right? Dre, you're from the area. What's really close to D.C. that has a strong tie to, you know, like naval military stuff?
Annapolis.
Right. Naval Academy, right? Yeah. So Armada, you talk about an Armada. Like, that has, at least that's a little bit better than Commanders. Commanders sounds like they're trying too hard to be cool. I think Armada would have been a little bit more.
And I mean, it's near ports, it's near water. DC is like, I mean, people kind of forget, but it's on the East Coast. It's literally right there. If you want to go to the ocean, it ain't nothing but 2 hours worth of a drive down to Salisbury, Maryland, and you out there, Ocean City, you know?
Yeah.
So it would have been a lot better of a choice. But, you know, hey, to each his own. I would have liked to seen the Red Wolves, but I know they had some like copyright or something else wrong with that. So, you know, I mean, Armada would have probably been my second choice. And even Red Tails could have made that tie as a second choice, but I heard the Defenders was another one, and I was like, see, bottom tier choices, Defenders and Commanders. And
well, yeah, the Defenders are already they already have Defenders in DC. Yeah. It's the XFL team. So when they said that too, I was just like, now you're just getting lazy, because like, you already have a team in DC that's named the Defenders. but a follow-up question to this that I had for you guys too was like, did you guys ever think that maybe they should have considered, like, when they did this rebrand, completely changing the color scheme of the team?
Yes. I literally thought that I was like, why are we still sticking with the Redskins colors? You know, like, this is like an opportunity for you to like branch out and literally make practically a new organization, a whole new team.
Yeah.
But you know what they probably did want to do? Sit around and repaint buildings and, you know, change everybody's, you know, stuff. No more red and yellow. Now you got to change out everything to blue and green.
Have we even seen a logo? Have we seen a logo?
I think they're keeping the same bullshit W.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing. It hasn't changed. They didn't do very much. They just, you know, changed the name of it because they had a problem with other things. It had nothing to do with, they didn't want to change nothing about that football franchise right there. I mean, it's very apparent.
On the black helmet with the W in the front, is there anything on the sides? Number, any other logo, anything? It's just a W in the front and the whole rest of the helmet's black?
So from the angles of the picture that we can see, I have not seen anything yet. It could be. I have an angle. It's the numbers on the sides.
Okay, I don't mind that. That's like the Bama side. You know, the Bama on the side. Yeah, I like that. I could get behind that. That's not traditional in football, you know, helmetries all the time anymore. So
I mean, I get why they wanted to keep the color scheme the same. I get why they wanted to keep like most of the ideas the same, because they were essentially like forced to make this change, right? Like if you guys think back, like they didn't want to do it until people started pulling their funding. But I mean, I don't know. I think like if you're an organization, like a smart organization would take this as an opportunity to say, hey, you know, like this has given us a new lease on like the entire brand. Like let's rethink, let's be radical here. Like let's do something completely different. This just kind of feels like you just woke up one day and you're a little confused. And like, it's like, did I have a dream? Like, is this really a different team? Is this really a different brand?
Yeah.
Talent wise, I think they're moving in the right direction. Obviously they need a quarterback in this off season, but Terry Gibson, that front seven, I don't have a lot of good Redskins football team Commanders memories over the last 20 years of being a football fan, but
no, the bright spots for them were like RG3 for the brief RG3 time he was sick. Good. And then
that's, you know, the one jersey Sean that Taylor. I have. I
Sean have Taylor was a RG3. Bright spot for them too. And
Sean Taylor. RIP.
Yeah, RIP to him. But I mean, other than that, man, it's been you have to go way back to like the Theismann days for them to be like really, really good. But you're right. I mean, the talent, especially on their front seven, like their D line is insane. They have some like decent cornerback play, but I think this is actually a really good bridge to our second talking point, which is going to be like the envelope that is free agency, right? I think this is going to be one of the most interesting free agencies we will see, and just off seasons in general, right? Because we've got a bunch of openings for franchises that potentially, you know, era ending, right? You got the Steelers, you got Tom Brady out, so the Bucks are looking for somebody potentially. You got Rodgers and the Packers like kind of flirting but not really flirting. Like a lot of people think that he might go back to the Packers. I don't really think that's the case, but it's still up in the air for the most part. And then you got big name free agency guys, right? Like Davante Adams. I was reading this today, Jesse Bates. If you guys know who Jesse Bates is, the star safety for the Bengals, he actually is projected to be in a UFA this offseason as well. So a lot of big guys in free agency. And then you got the guys under the radar, right? You got Kyler Murray now with all this stuff. I think that's a great way to start is what the hell's going on with Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah. He deleted all of his Cardinals pictures on Instagram, unfollowed him on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't read much into it. There hasn't been much speculation besides that, but that could definitely be interesting. I mean, when you're thinking about quarterbacks this offseason, you know, you're thinking about Rodgers, Russ, Jimmy G, Derek Carr, Cam, Mariota, Teddy, Jameis, and then all the rookies that are going to be coming in the draft. So it's going to be an extremely entertaining offseason. As far as what you were talking about with Rodgers in Green Bay, I don't see that happening. I feel like he would retire before he played in Green Bay again. Selfishly, I'm a Bucks fan. I would love for him to come to Tampa. But as a football fan, I want to see him go to Denver.
So, Trev, what's your opinion on the whole – because I know like a week and a half ago, or maybe it's 2 weeks now, Davante Adams came out and said that, you know, he really wants to be a package deal with Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, like the practicality, that's pretty like not really possible given the teams that are, you know, suiting Rodgers. But like, what's your take on that? Do you think that Davante Adams will, you know, hold out for that? Or do you think they could be heading different places?
Well, if that's really what they want, they're going to have to settle on a very short list of teams if they both want to get paid, or somebody's going to have to take a pay cut, and it's probably not going to be Aaron Rodgers. So depending on how bad Davante Adams wants it, kind of something I wanted to see. I think it would be amazing in Denver, have Davante go to Denver, have guys like Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Devontae Booker. What's that young running back's name?
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams. There we go. Yeah. I think that would be a scary offense with, I think, best defense in the league we saw last year in Denver. So that's why, as a football fan, I want to see him go there. I think it would be a fun fit. But, yeah, if they really want to do that, they're going to have a short list, or one of them's going to have to take a pick.
I would love to see him in Denver.
Yeah, I think that's
I would love to see Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. It's like the retirement home for quarterbacks, bro. It's awesome. You know, like, it's the perfect spot for you to go and, like, settle out and win the last one and just go off into the sunset.
Yeah, you could pull a Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I love Denver for that. And I think that they would I think it would be a good fit for him. Trevor's right, though. If Devontae wants to go with Aaron, he's going to have to take a pay cut. It's like watching somebody go. You know, you could talk about basketball. It happens all the time where major stars try and follow each other, go somewhere else. Not everybody getting paid the same. Somebody's going to have to say, all right, I'll take a backseat role. And that even goes in terms of games, too. Mm-hmm. It's like if you go somewhere and they already got the suitable guys at wide receiver and they didn't have to give them up, you took the pay cut. Just know your catchers are going to be split, too, on top of your paycheck. So, like, it's going to be a big adjustment if he really wants to do it. But I think if they want to make it work, it'll be a dangerous, dangerous combo to have for any team that wants both of them.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening out there, both these guys make excellent points about the money side of things, right? So Davante Adams is probably going to command somewhere in the range of like, I'd say 25 to 30 mil is essentially his market value. And that's probably going to be a 3 or 4 year deal. And then if you're looking at Rodgers, I mean, I think anybody who could sign him under 35 would be getting a steal. That's probably what he's going to quote, somewhere around there. And there's going to be teams that are willing to pay that, but is it going to be a team that can also afford the 25? And then boom, 25% of your cap is gone to two players. I don't know. I do like the points about Denver, though. I mean, I think Denver is a team that's on the cusp. They got a lot of young talent there. You guys made the points about their offense. I think their defense as well, Trev, great point. A lot of young drive there, right? Before they lost Von Miller, they still have Bradley Chubb. They still have Pat Surtain. They have a lot of depth. Justin Simmons at safety position as well. So they're a good team. They're actually, I'm looking right here at this, to bring it full circle, I'm looking at this betting odds for Kyler Murray's next team, and the Denver Broncos are actually listed second on that list, right behind first. The Bucks, plus 500, the Bucks.
I wouldn't mind it.
I would like to see him go to the Bucks, honestly. That would be a beautiful fit.
We got the Bucks at plus 500. We got the Broncos at plus 600. Tied with the Broncos at 600, believe it or not, is the MLB, the Oakland Athletics.
Wow, could you imagine?
I think that would be hilarious. I mean, I don't know. I think if Kyler does walk from the Cardinals, it opens up another thing, right? Like, who the Cardinals going to have a QB then? It could jostle a bunch of these draft picks coming in and, you know, where Aaron Rodgers and those other quarterbacks like Russell Wilson end up next year. We've got some, I found a really cool article I'm going to toss you guys at the very end of the episode, but no, I think you guys make great points about the Broncos, Rodgers and Davante Adams. I think that's the one thing for the Packers fans that they're holding out on is that, you know, one of the only places where they could stay together would be in Green Bay. So a lot of fans are like praying that that's really like a selling point for them. I think they're gone. I think they're both gone. I think if one of them was to stay, it would probably be Rodgers. I think Davante Adams at this point, though, should probably just, you know, get his payday and play for somebody else. But, you know, he's not the only guy. He's not the only big name on the free agency list. We also got Teron Armstead. We've got Odell Beckham, which I'm really interested to get your guys' opinions on, like, the way he rejuvenated his career. We got other guys, too, like Chris Godwin and other big-name talents that are going to be floating out in free agency.
Allen Robinson.
I think he could be a really, really good pickup for somebody. I think he just soured in Chicago. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, like, what specific guys and teams are you kind of keeping a close eye on for free agency additions this offseason?
As far as like quarterbacks, obviously the Bucks, a Bucks fan, but being a Bucks fan, I'm looking at the Saints as well. That's another top five defense. That's a pretty good line, and they might have Kamara. They might not. He might be in jail. But you know, a guy like that, a guy like Michael Thomas, if he were to come back and play, that was a popular spot for, I think, Rodgers a couple weeks ago. But this is definitely going to be an amazing NFL offseason. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I'm watching me personally, I'm watching Odell, obviously. I want to see what happens with Chris Godwin and that entire situation.
People are kind of forgetting about him, Godwin.
Yeah, because he could be a sneaky steal if he actually can get healthy. So
right.
That could be a big pickup for any team that's willing to take the risk on an injury, mm-hmm. like an ACL tear. So I think there's a few teams that could use some pickups here. Obviously, you talk about Pittsburgh, Mike. Dallas needs to make some changes. I don't know if they're really willing to. You know how stubborn America's team is. So, you know, they need to make something change. I love Dak there. I don't think they should do anything in terms of that.
I don't think their issues are on offense. I think the only issues they have on offense would be in the receivers. I think, you know, maybe it's time for Amari to move on. But I think they should definitely focus on the defensive side of the ball. 100%.
So
think about the rumors from a week or two ago about AP going to Baltimore.
I would hate it. I would hate it because he is a cancer to the locker room, and everybody gonna say, "Well, Hollywood Brown's his cousin, and Lamar and them are all from Florida." No, it's awful. It's awful. He's gonna kill any chance that these boys have to rejuvenate any life left in them. They were so injury prone this past year. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's kind of demoralized because every time they've been to the playoffs, they fell short. They haven't necessarily made that massive moment. They haven't been AFC champions. They haven't, you know, even really kept up to the point where it's like after the one AFC championship that they lost, where have they, you know, like in previous years before that and going forward, where have they gone? I don't see Antonio Brown splitting up catches for Tylan Wallace and Hollywood and all the other young wideouts that are just, you know, starting to get their footing being a good idea, especially with a quarterback that's going to develop a really good relationship with a lot of the wide receivers he has, because we've already seen him do it. So I think it would be an awful idea. I mean, it's time to blacklist Antonio Brown, and he's one of my favorite wide receivers of all time, bro. It's time to blacklist him now.
Well, hey, man, I like kind of sort of agree with you. I kind of disagree with you. I think like there's definitely some rapport there between Antonio Brown and Lamar. Like he was helping him train with Marquise over the offseason. But I agree, you know, as a Steelers fan, believe me, nobody understands more than I about the whole locker room cancer aspect of AB. I get it. And I don't know. I think that, you know, there are definitely other options, right? Like if they want to go out and pay big bucks to somebody like Godwin. I've seen Godwin connected to the Patriots, which is really interesting. But let me float you another Baltimore concept that I read today that was really interesting. I heard Tyrann Matthew potentially to the Ravens.
That would be beautiful.
That would be a statement.
Yeah, that would be beautiful because he's been – at least in my mind, he's always had the Baltimore attitude. He's always been a dog. Ever since I watched him, he has that Baltimore fit, the Baltimore mindset. Flock, they would eat that alive. I think everybody would love to see him in a Ravens jersey. I don't know if they're going to really want to pay him, but it could be a possibility. They need the help on defense. That was a huge problem that we had, was keeping people healthy on defense, and then the people that were coming in off the bench, could they produce? And it wasn't necessarily the best fit that we've seen in defenses in Baltimore. So I think that would be a good pickup if we could actually get it done.
All right. So let's, I just thought of a really cool segment to get the creative juices flowing for you two here with the free agency conversation. So it's called, it's going to be draft, trade, or pickup. All right. So for example, if I was to say Bucks QB, what are your thoughts?
I would say free agent.
And if you guys want to call a shot, you can call a shot too. Like if you feel like Trev, if you think it's going to be Kyler, man, or you think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers or Russ.
Past couple episodes, I've said Russ. I'm going to stick with Russ. I've heard some Rodgers talk, some Derek Carr talk, but I'm keeping it with Russ for now. He's throwing some beautiful balls to Mike Williams in the Pro Bowl.
Mike Evans. I'd like Russell Wilson heading over there. Kyler would just be, I think that would be one of the most interesting things that we've seen in a long time is him going to Tampa. Yeah. So I would love to see that happen. Not necessarily that it's going to, because I don't know what the hell he's doing, if he's doing what he's doing on social media. I think this is like a full restart button for him. But, you know, I think he may be pulling a Jordan and playing some baseball.
Baseball? Yeah. Well, the Athletics would certainly be happy to hear that. All right, let's switch over to another NFC team, one with a lot less success than the Bucks. Let's go Washington Commanders quarterback.
I've been seeing a lot of talks of Russell Wilson, so I'm going to go free agent on this one. More than likely, I think Russell will end up at Tampa, but I think that's their best option if they want anything that's going to be of value to them in terms of leadership. And filling in some gaps where they don't have any genuine experience going for them.
Washington, I've heard about Russ as well. Some rumors there. I could also see Derek Carr there. Really, really both two of the quarterbacks that's talked about for the Bucks. Neither one of y'all want to see another season of Heinicke, though, right?
Heinicke is like a Band-Aid that is like, falling, like, you know, like when you have those Band-Aids where like twice. Like only one side of the sticky part is staying on, like that's Taylor Heinicke. Hopefully they I actually, for the Commanders, I think they're gonna go draft. I think it's gonna be somebody like, you know, Sam Howell or whoever really falls to them. But you know, the issue with that is they have a lot of other holes, and if you have a pick that high in the draft, do you really want to waste it trying to get a quarterback when, you know, the talk about this quarterback class is that it's deep, but there's not really a lot of like day one talent, which is what the Commanders need. They need day one talent. Because I think that was where they faltered with Dwayne Haskins, because he was not a day one talent guy and they tried to make him a day one talent guy. And I think it stunted his growth. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Where do we go here?
Draft. Yeah. I think they should trade up, get Kenny.
Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
They might have to trade up for Pickett, I feel like.
Yeah, he might fall to them, because I was hearing there's a lot of smoke out that Willis is probably going to be the guy that's taken by the Panthers. And then
what do they have, like six?
Yeah, they have six. And there's been a lot of hype on his draft stock recently.
Okay.
And there's been some talk now that like he might be the first quarterback taken.
Any draft pick for them, I think it's time for them to kind of, you know, keep the youth coming in.
Well, yeah, they don't have any other needs, really, the Steelers. I mean, they're a team that's ready to go. I heard a very interesting thought the other day. I was on with one of my friends who's a big football fan. He was saying, like, here's what the Steelers need to do. They need to go. They need to pay Rodgers a one-year deal, and then they need to take a guy in the first round. And they need to let Rodgers play in front of that kid for a year, and then that kid's going to be the new face of the franchise.
Although – he's undersized. Matt Corral could be a good option for him as well.
I love Matt Corral.
He's electric. I think he's one of those people that'll, you know, keep the fan base excited. And I think he'll work well with some of the wideouts that they have, like James Washington. And
yeah.
Since both of y'all went draft, what do you think about Marcus Mariota?
Ooh. He could use a word, but it would be a cool sight to see him in a Steelers jersey. Mike, uh-huh. I know you're a Steelers fan, so you might be a little bit.
Well, listen, I mean, it would be a great redemption story, I think, for Mariota. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Steelers, that's not the right answer, because I think for the Steelers, they need somebody right now. But I think if they get him and he has like a redemption, I think it would be like a top five value play of like this decade, probably, because he has that potential. It's just a matter of, you know, whether he can attain it or
right. I think they'll fix it in the draft, but if not, that's definitely one of the spots I could see Marcus Mariota.
It's interesting. I like
kind of like a wild card. Yeah,
I like it, honestly. I think it would be a good shot for him. But again, I think there is that point of they do kind of need some right now. The youth is the youth is the youth, and they have a chance to, you know, really build upon what they've already got in Pittsburgh. So I like Marcus, though. I think he deserves another shot, bro. I really do. Some team needs to pick him up and just give him a little 1 year deal or something and see if he could produce.
If I'm the Steelers, if I'm not taking a dude in the first round and or getting like a Kyler Murray or an Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I would feel like that's kind of a letdown for me. But I think the Mariota is intriguing if like they miss out on those top guys and it's like, hey, here's a dude we could probably lock in for like, they could probably get him for like a 2 year, $6 million deal at this point. And then like, you know, he proves himself, that turns out to be a great contract.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft class though. So they should be fine. They'll be fine either way. I don't think they'll have to resort that far back in my mind. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good idea though.
First round. Yeah. I got a question for y'all. So say a team, no team in specific, but a team that needs a quarterback, who do you think would have the best year if they all got an equal shot to start next year? Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew, or Mitch Trubisky?
That's a good question.
You want to go first or you want me to?
Yeah, speechless.
Mitch Trubisky for me, and watching what he did with the Bears, and now I understand how bad of a play caller Matt Nagy is, but like still, I think that I've seen too much of Mitch Trubisky to like ever come back from that. So it's not fair for me, but I'm just like throwing him out. So for me, it's between Mariota and Gardner Minshew. I mean, I hesitate to say this. Honestly, I think Minshew. I think Gardner Minshew. I think in the sample sizes we've seen from him, he's been like, I don't want to say stellar. He's definitely been good. He's been good enough to me that warrants. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like he should be good enough that he's one of the 32 dudes that's getting starter reps every week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say that about Mariota right now. I think Mariota has a little bit more risk associated with him because of the injury history and the bumpiness of his NFL career.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Minshew would be a quarterback that could probably fit most teams' needs. If that makes sense in comparison to Marcus. But I think if Marcus gets in the right situation for himself, he might be the better fit in terms of wherever he goes. But I think Minshew is just the overall better guy to pick up if you're just a team looking for a quarterback.
I'd agree. I'd probably take Minshew as well. Although I am a Trubisky lover. I want to see him get one more shot.
Trubisky, he's, you know, I like Trubisky because he was really good at college. Yeah, he's been I won't call him a bust. You could call it, it's not necessarily a bust, but he hasn't been what you would expect it of Mitch. But it's one of those things that I see something that if he has, again, it's about the opportunities for the other two. If they get into the right opportunities, I see that he might be able to make a comeback on his career because it's not impossible. You mentioned how bad that Chicago Bears team that he was stuck with is, and we've watched kind of like hope stories, I guess, with now Matthew Stafford going from Detroit to LA. It's a possibility. It isn't out of the picture.
Took a Matt Nagy offense to the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
that's
the other
accomplishment
thing
in itself. He should be in the Hall of Fame for that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious.
I think the other thing too for me that separates Minshew between those other two guys is that Minshew for the entirety of his NFL career has always been somebody who's been like doubted, right? And those are typically, in my opinion, those are the guys who tend to rise up when they have their moments, because this Minshew was not drafted, you know, first round. He wasn't even drafted day two. This was a day three guy. He was in the sixth round. Okay. Out of Washington State. He looked stellar in college, but no one gave him the time of the day because he came from like a middle of the pack air raid offense, Washington State team. Okay. And he came in the NFL. Everything he's done has been good when he's been asked to do it, whether it's with the Jags or the Eagles. I mean, I don't know, like that there's a lot less expectations for him to succeed than it would be for like Mariota and Trubisky being, you know, top three overall picks, both of them. So I think Minshew is in a better position, both mentally, physically, and just like holistically to succeed in that scenario. So, all right. So I pulled up these blockbuster trades. You guys are going to love these. So this was written, shout out Christopher Knox from Bleacher Report. First one we've got here. Okay. The Bengals have long been referred to this year as the weakness of their team has been their defense. Okay. Obviously, that wasn't the case against the Chiefs and definitely not in the playoffs, where their defense has made a number of plays, notably interceptions in the secondary, right, to turn around games in their favor. Okay. But what if I was to tell you that the Bengals could go out and for just a first and a fifth round, they could get an immediate impact corner from the Dolphins, a young proven corner in Xavien Howard, one of the top five corners in the league, and add him to an already stacked secondary for next year. How crazy would that be?
That would be crazy. And that would make them a top three, four, at least favorite in the AFC. But for me, one thing, I mean, obviously that secondary is not going to be good all season the way they are right now. But I think with that first round pick, unless they were able to fix it with their second and third round pick, but I think they need to put a little work in on that O-line. But if you can find another way to fix that, a second round pick, sign a guy, you know, got a guy that develops over the offseason, that would definitely be something to take Xavien Howard.
Honestly,
excellent fit there.
Yeah, I honestly think they should go for it if it's possible for him. I mean, he's right. They got to cover some ground with that O-line. I mean, we've watched Joe get a little bit, you know, he don't get flustered. That boy don't get flustered. But, you know, it's more about just making sure the kid's safe and not getting rocked every other play. So as long as they can figure that out, I think they should go on ahead and do a first and a fifth for him. I mean, it's one of those pickups where, you know, Mike, I'm a Big 12 boy and I love Big 12 football, and you know how much we love our offense, but defense does win you championships. So if they could get it done, I think that they made it this far without a damn offensive line and might be able to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, Burrow is running back there like a chicken with his head cut off, but he's doing it really well. He's the number one QB in the NFL facing the blitz. So clearly, and I think that's because he gets a lot of practice, right? I mean, the dude's, the dude wakes up being blitzed every day. But all right, here's another one. This one I think is going to shock you guys the most because we've been talking about them a lot today. The Cleveland Browns trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So the Browns would get Wilson, the Seahawks would get Baker Mayfield, and then two firsts, a third, and a second. Is that like too much for Russell Wilson, or what do you guys think about that?
In my opinion, yeah. You're already giving him Baker. Along with all those picks, I mean, that's like the Seahawks just stealing, you know, your entire foundation of what you kind of need, which is a rebuild again in Cleveland, which it sucks, but it's kind of true. Like their wide receivers, they need some work. They need to get Baker some options if they even want him to be useful. So, like, and that would be the same issue if they traded all their picks away for Russell. So it's like, you know, I think they would. It's a little bit too much.
But couldn't this be like a trade like the Rams made, right? Like, I mean, because the Browns are on that cusp. Like, they just need consistent quarterback play. They got one of the best. Like everything's in all of the
they probably got the best line in football.
Yeah, they've got. I think they have holistically probably the best roster.
That's what like especially I know it's a lot. Retiring. Yeah, I know it's a lot, and they're pretty much giving away their future. But if they had a top five quarterback this year, they might be in the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah,
I mean, I know Baker was hurt; he couldn't turn his body with his shoulders. But the AFC was wide open this year, and the Browns have a good defense. The Browns have the best line in football. They got Nick Chubb. They had Odell. They had an okay receiving core. But, I mean, Russ is a guy that he could make guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones. He could make guys like Jarvis Landry look good. So I think it's a good trade. And if I was the Cleveland Browns, I would do it. I would give up the future for a top 5, 6, 7 quarterback. But – no, they don't pay me to make those decisions. So,
okay, I've got another one with the Browns here. This one actually makes a lot more sense, and I think it would be a huge steal. A conditional second round pick next year for Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley becomes the number one wide receiver in Cleveland.
Oh, now, ooh.
That would be nice with a healthy Baker.
Yeah, because again, like I said, I feel like he just needs a couple more options that are a little bit more willing to work with him. I feel like Odell was not really willing to work with Baker after that first year.
Right.
You know, and it was very apparent by even Baker not being really all that willing to work with him and not giving him that many targets. So I think he just needs an extra body out there that really fits his, you know, play style. And I think that would be a good pickup for them. I mean, honestly, if they have the bandwidth, they could probably make it happen with the Russell Wilson trade too.
I mean, if they
and that would be even crazier, bro. I mean,
crazy offense.
That would be insane. I think that's like at that point, you could maybe drunkenly make the argument, like at the end of a Beerly football episode.
Honestly,
that the Browns would have a better offense than the Chiefs if that all happened.
Yeah, yeah,
that was crazy. One of our first episodes, way in the off season. Before preseason was even close, we did like our way too early predictions, and I actually had the Browns having the best record in the NFL, and boy was I wrong.
Don't feel bad, Trev. A lot of people thought they were going to be really, really good this year. Yeah. And I think that's been the story for them the past 2 years.
Mike, was it you 2 years ago or last year that I was literally arguing with you? I was like, or maybe it was Dragan. I can't remember. I was literally arguing with someone. I was like, the Browns are making a Super Bowl. They're making a Super Bowl. They had the best roster.
Because I was literally
so angry.
Yeah.
And then I was like, watching them play throughout the season, and I'm like, this shit is not going to happen, bro. And then it continued. And I'm a Ravens fan, so this tells you how much faith I had in that roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to see Lamar shit all over the Browns every fucking weekend. But, you know, like, dude, they are stacked. If they got that to, if they made that happen, I genuinely think that you could make that case, because again, the AFC, as Trev mentioned, is kind of wide open. We watched a Bengals team kind of make their little crazy run through it. I don't know how much bullying Kansas City is going to tolerate with all of this nonsense with, you know, Patty and his wife and his little brother and stuff, but you know, it's still a pretty open race. So I think that would be a really, really interesting move if they could get it done.
All right. So next one we've got here, Amari Cooper from the Cowboys, bring him to Jacksonville and give Trevor Lawrence, you know,
a number one,
all
option.
Of a sudden a clear number one receiver.
Would that have to be a trade or is he going to be a free agent?
That would be a trade for 2 third round picks, which I think for Amari Cooper, that's a pretty big steal. I mean, you're taking into account that you're getting like what, like a 26-year-old Amari Cooper instead of like a 24-year-old. I think he's something in that range, but I mean, he's still got a lot of potential. I just think he's just not happy in Dallas anymore. Yeah. His time's up.
I think it would be a good pickup for Jacksonville, but I only like if he wants to win, that's the only thing for him. I mean, as long – I don't think he really matters where he goes at this point. You're right. He should get out of Dallas. If he wants to win, that's not a really good fit for him. But, I mean, he could wait that out, sit it out, take the contract, go somewhere else in free agency, get some good reps in.
I like it. I don't know. Dallas offense was crazy this year, and Amari had his peaks. But, I mean, that is something that the Cowboys are going to have to think about, like in picks, getting new talent in there, talent on defense. Because, I mean, they're good enough to win right now. They were, what were they, 6-1, 7-1, something like that for a little while. I think Jerry's stubborn enough to give it one more go.
Trev, you are saying everything that I've said my entire life, bro. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most stubborn franchises you will find in the NFL. I think you're right, bro. I don't think they'll do it, but they should.
Mm-hmm.
They should.
Okay, so here is a really interesting one. I'm gonna try to pitch it for you guys to make it even more interesting. Okay, so the one quarterback that Tom Brady really believed in was going to be his predecessor in New England. Okay, who was that guy?
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, okay. And so once Brady leaves the Patriots, Jimmy G gets shipped off to the 49ers, okay? Or it might have even been the year before. What if I told you we've seen how Tom Brady has been pulling the strings for the Bucs organization these past 2 years, bringing Gronk out of retirement, bringing AB to Tampa, okay? What if I told you that he, even after retirement, he's still pulling their strings and he says, hey, you know what? You guys go get the guy that I wanted to replace me in New England. You go get him and replace him in Tampa. Okay, Jimmy G from the Niners to the Bucs for a second and a third. What are your thoughts?
I don't even think the Niners are going to stick with Jimmy G next year. I mean, Lance didn't look amazing. As a Bucs fan, I don't want it to happen. I mean, I would be okay with it happening if we struck out on Carr, Russ, Rodgers, and it was either Jimmy G, Blaine Gabbert, or Kyle Trask. I'd take Jimmy G, obviously. But I'm off that bandwagon. I'm not a fan of that guy. I feel like he's not good enough really to win a playoff game. We've seen him get carried in both playoff games they won this year. He threw like 140 yards, no touchdowns and a pick, and then 170, no touchdowns and a pick, and then kind of wet the bed in that Rams game at the end. But I just don't think he's that guy.
You know, I think Tom may have made the wrong guess just by a few years on who his genuine predecessor is. I think we've found a kid that's that dude, and he's in the Super Bowl right now. So that would be the closest dude to Tom Brady, and they're not getting that. And I think you have a point there. They got to strike out on everybody else, and I think he would be their best option for a trade. Mm-hmm. They got to strike out on everybody else. They got to look at all the draft picks that they could possibly pull out if, you know, Matt's still open. Whatever the case is, they got to strike out on every other option before they go to Jimmy G. And I think if they got a trade, that's their first – that should be their first option out of that whenever they decide to go trade for him.
Can I save the best for last? Or I should probably say the most outrageous for last, seeing as though I highly doubt this happens. But – Aaron Rodgers to the Tennessee Titans.
Whoa.
For Ryan Tannehill, 2 firsts, a second, and 2 thirds.
If this trade were, I mean, that would be nuts. What do you guys think about Julio? You think he's washed, or do you think with Rodgers he would snap back into it?
I think with Rodgers, he'd have like one good year. I think he'd have one really good year. It would set him up to, you know, I think Rodgers could maybe get them a little further in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Maybe into the Super Bowl. I don't know if he could win one with the Titans. But uh-huh. I think Julio needs a quarterback like Rodgers. They can make up for a little bit of the age barrier that he's fighting right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if Tennessee can get it done, they just need a better quarterback, in my opinion. We've had this conversation on this podcast so much about him just being your lukewarm soup, bro. You know,
mm-hmm.
just he's all right. Like, it's not hot enough, but it's not super cold. So if they could get it done, I think Aaron Rodgers would be a great fit for Julio. I don't know how much gas in his tank he has mm-hmm. left. I don't see it being as one of those things, though, that it changes their outcome in terms of them being that team that steps in and wins the Super Bowl immediately. They'd be trading out a lot of pieces for things that they could definitely still pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think realistically, if Rodgers leaves Green Bay, there's not a lot of guys that I see them getting better than Tannehill, although I'm not a Tannehill believer, but I don't know who else they would get if Rodgers was gone, if Rodgers walked.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it would be a really stupid trade for both parties. Titans would be giving up too much to like I'm not going to say Rodgers is not great, but when there's other guys in this free agency class and this draft class, the talent that's available, to give up that much just to get Rodgers, I think it's a little bit of a stretch, especially when you have to pay him that much and he probably would only be on your team for like 1 or 2 years.
Hey, I don't know though, because the last point I'll make is how tasty of a destination is Tennessee for most NFL players.
Yeah.
You know, how many people are really going to want to sign to Tennessee at the end of the season?
That's very true.
It may be one of those things that if they're trying to make a full house run in the next 2 or 3 years, like, go ahead and try it. Because, I mean, Derrick Henry is a beast, and he's going to have a few more years left in his tank of just him tearing up the NFL every game. So, I mean, but it would be stupid. It would be stupid if they can't do anything else. And again, it's about the tastefulness of a destination. If they really like, if they can't get anybody, if they can't get anybody and they need to do that full house run, go ahead. But don't.
Okay. So I think this is a really good spot to start wrapping things up with, you know, our way too early look ahead to next year. Okay. Cause you know, there's so many moving parts still left in this offseason. We're still Absolutely. So early in the process. So many things could go on. So having that being said, let's get some hot takes here. And Trev, I heard a really interesting hot take from you on the newest episode of Beerly, specifically regarding the Chiefs. I don't know if you want to reuse that one and then add to it or not.
Oh, yeah.
I won't steal your thunder, but it was a very interesting take. But let's get some hot takes on, you know, what we think could happen next year in terms of maybe, I don't know, some surprise teams, some dynasties that are forming, maybe even some surprise retirements, like from a guy like Matt Ryan or something like that.
I think Rodgers' retirement is a little bit bigger of a possibility than most people are giving it. I think that may be possible. What I said on the show, what you're talking about, said Patrick Mahomes is not going to win another Super Bowl in KC. I feel like they've already peaked. I know they hated that. Harry and Zach argued with me for 20 minutes, but I just feel like they've already peaked. Like they were saying they're the best. They just fizzled out. They had a bad game, but like a bad game in the playoffs, like you're going home.
He's kind of right. They've been proving that they're beatable. Like at one point it was almost like, wow, like is this team ever going to, you know, look not good even in a loss?
Well, I think it's a great take, and I agree with you completely, Dre. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it, Trev, but I think it's a great take in the sense that like you can see the cracks in the armor with the Chiefs this year and with Patrick Mahomes. Now you've got, I think his next 3 years are going to be so much more difficult because you got the Chargers coming up, you got the Bengals coming up, you got the Bills. You know, Bills are starting to taste it a little bit more, right? There's so many more teams now that are going to be competing with the Chiefs.
No, I think he has championships left in him. And I think Kansas City has championships left in them. Don't know if they're going to win them. You know, like they're talented enough. They're always going to be talented enough. It's about, are they going to have that one day whenever the other team that's less talented and just decides to work harder that day?
Mm-hmm. And another thing that kind of went into that take, which I didn't even bring it up on Beerly, but, you know, every time KC loses in the playoffs, people are talking about, is Andy Reid going to retire now? How much longer does Andy Reid have? And then who's going to step in? What's that offense going to look like, you know?
Yeah, but that'd be interesting if he retired soon.
Ray made a good point on the show. I think they're going to definitely bring in a weapon this offseason to complement Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, but – I'm definitely going to have to clip that when I said that, put it on Twitter, try to make some Chiefs fans mad.
I really feel like if you clipped it and put it on Twitter, there would be a rampage your account.
Trev, look at it this way. It's a win-win situation for you, okay? Let's say you put it on Twitter and it's right, okay? Like you establish like lifetime credibility with like every NFL fan. Let's say you put it on Twitter and you couldn't be more wrong. Like let's say the Chiefs win 2 of the next 3 Super Bowls, okay? At the very least, you're blowing up because you made it on Freezing Cold Takes.
Yeah, I'm getting ratioed every year, every 2 years. Like
at the very least, you're blowing up either way.
Have you seen that LeBron tweet that's like, thank God LeBron's only 31. We don't have to deal with this much longer.
That'll be
when KC wins like 3 more championships in the next 5 years.
I think that you're probably going to watch a Rams team that wins the championship next year not necessarily be that great, and the AFC becomes very stacked, and it's gonna be, you're gonna be watching Super Bowls and AFC championships and divisional rounds. I think that's where the NFL's starting to head, unless the NFC's coaching styles and play it just shifts. It's got to shift a little bit, and they got to start looking towards the young guys, because at least from what I could tell over the past 5 years or so, the AFC has put a lot of trust into the young cats and gave them the keys to the whip, and it's been working out, especially whenever they're starting to build systems around the young guys. You know, if you're building a system around a Lamar, you're building a system around a Pat, you're building a system around Joe in this football era, you know, it works out a little bit better because we're watching the Steph Curry change, the tide will change, and like what kind of quarterback you want. I think NFC is kind of losing one if Kyler doesn't play next year. You know what I'm saying? They're already losing one of those guys that reminds me of a Steph Curry, transcendent, makes crazy plays, you know, off foot throwing, kind of like a Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the original Steph, you know, but I think that's what you'll probably see is an AFC that's loaded, and you're going to watch a lot of good football in there.
Right.
So here's my take. I think next year we're going to see at least one or two teams, kind of like we saw this year with the Bengals, that make that next leap. It's going to be a surprise team, somebody that we're not really thinking about right now. Okay. So these teams, like I think there's a lot of teams with young quarterbacks that have the pieces around those quarterbacks that are ready to go. So like, I'll give a couple examples. Okay. I think the Eagles, right? Hurts played really well this year. Their O-line is really strong, especially the left side. Okay. They got pretty good secondary play. Most of their guys are locked down, right? If Hurts can have another good year for a full year next year, you know, that could be go mode for them because they have an aging O-line, but it's one of the better O-lines in the league. So if they can do it, maybe the Eagles make a run, right? Another team, you guys are going to hate me for this. This is going to be the hottest one. Okay, the Jets. Let me sell you on the Jets real quick, okay? Whoa. Let me sell you on the Jets. Okay. In the springtime, the Jets have the 4th overall pick. They're going to go out, okay, and they're going to get like a honey badger for themselves. They're going to get Kyle Hamilton, okay? That's what I think they should do, all right? They got a great young left tackle in Mekhi Becton. They've got really good D-line play. They got Quinnen Williams. Okay, they got C.J. Mosley locking down the linebackers, okay? It's a young team. They got some veteran talent. I think Zach Wilson turns it around. He had the rookie blues this year, okay? Everybody on that team has an extra year. They got young, good running back, Michael Carter. I'm not saying they like make the playoffs here, but you know, it could be a surprise team. Like if I saw them pushing for a wild card spot, I'd be like, okay, I'd consider that a win. So, you know, teams like that. And I think the Jags turn it around, right? Like Trevor Lawrence led the NFL in drops for rookie quarterbacks this year. He's going to get Travis Etienne. Didn't play at all this year. He's not going to have Urban Meyer as his coach anymore. So I think there's going to be a team like that. The Broncos get a quarterback, you know, makes a strong push for the playoffs. And who knows, they could get on a Bengals run, right? Like who's to say that Zach Wilson doesn't start lighting it up like he did at BYU next year.
Mm-hmm. So, Denver's a really good mention too. We had talked about it earlier. Denver's a really good mention for a team that you got to watch out for. Definitely. Way too early, but definitely. I think they're going to make some major moves.
When they get a quarterback, they're turning the corner. 100%. Yeah. 100%. But no, so Trev, we'll give you this opportunity before we wrap up real quick. If there's anything you want to promote about Beerly or anything like that.
Oh, no. First of all, just appreciate you guys having me on. Like I said, I was looking forward to it, and I had a really good time talking some football. But if you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Beerly Sports, also Beerly Football on Twitter. But this was great. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Trev, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking football with us. You're more than welcome to come back on, just yourself or your co-hosts on the show. We'd always love to have you guys. Everybody, thanks for listening. We will catch you next week. Make sure that you follow us and Beerly Sports and Beerly Football on Twitter and check out their podcast. We'll catch you next week. Slightly Offsides. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.